you wanted to do that.
Awesome. Are you ready for me to do it now? What do you want me to do?
You just, yeah, if you do, I think I have to give it permission to jump up. So just go ahead and do it just so you're ready. So that way, you know, if you're ready to go, once more people will jump on. I will say, don't worry about the number above about eyeballs, because it doesn't start. It doesn't count all the other platforms. We're on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 platforms.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count. So what's up, man? What's new? What's happening?
Did I do it?
Yeah, can I can see it.
Can you see my screen? Okay, awesome. Because mm-hmm. I gotta put my face somewhere else.
Oh,
okay, anyway, I think I'm good now. I got your face over here. I got my slides over here. Yeah. It's not full presenter screen because I like to see what's coming next. So this is what it is, but it's good on your end. You can see it.
Yeah, I can see, well, I'm about to pull it up and then that way you'll see it too. It'll all make sense here in a second. But before we get to that, if you don't mind, tell everyone that might not know who you are, tell everyone who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good jazz.
Well, that is also a part of my slides, but I'll tell you. Okay, I am Shelby Johnson, formerly Shelby Osborne. I'm 33 years old. I was in the Army for 6 years before getting out to pursue real estate full time. Now I've been doing this crazy real estate entrepreneur life for 6 years. And throughout that time period, we're going to go in a little bit about like my background just to give you enough information to understand what I'm talking about today. But I have done a lot as a solo agent and a lot as a team. I've closed a shit ton of transactions, a bunch of rental properties. Pints and Properties is my baby from 2018 that's now nationwide, and Bigger Pockets, Business Insider. And that's it. That's an overview of me.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what's cool is you shared a lot of the wins, a lot of the successes, a lot of the titles to those successes. But today you're also going to be talking about some of the failure moments or the failing forward moments within building a team. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. I don't think of them. I mean, that's one thing too. It's like failures of building a team. Absolutely. But more like lessons learned, you know, the positive spin on it. It's the clickbait. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, people are attracted to negativity. Let me bring this up real quick and you can go ham. I might, if somebody has a question, I'm going to bring it in. By the way, if anybody's watching this, please ask a question. We can get as crazy as you want to get. I will bring that question up on the screen. You could go live with that question. But till then, it is all you, my friend.
Awesome. Okay. Today, Ruben, thank you so much for having me on Be More Training. This is very exciting, very fun. This topic we decided a long, long time ago. And at the time, you know, we were like failures of building a real estate team. My mind was in a very different place than it is now. So I completely changed what I was going to talk about within the last like 3 days, really. So this is maybe even going to surprise you, Ruben. But what I'm talking about today is how hindsight is 2020, and building a real estate team, primarily we're going to talk about if I were starting over today, this is what I would do. And within that, I'm going to explain what I did in the past and why I would do it differently if I were to do it again. So there's our like failures, lessons learned moments. Okay. We just kind of went over who I was, and Ruben totally hit the nail on the head. These are like the wave tops, the highlight moments, lots of blood, sweat, and tears in between each one of the bullet points. But today, as we go over the first part, which is some background information just to set you up for understanding the journey and better understanding the lessons learned, we are going to talk about the phases of my story. So phase one is the buildup. And this is where my first year in the game, this is before a team existed. So year zero, the other ones are year one as a team, but zero, I did really well out the gate. I was the Keller Williams Rookie of the Year for North and South Carolina. I did 48 closings on my own. By month 9, it wasn't just me though. I had my transaction coordinator and I had an admin, and I was like on top of the world. I left the Army and was so terrified. You guys know the feeling of like going from W-2 into a commission-based industry. And I felt like after that first year, I was like, dude, like the world is like, I could fucking do anything. I could fly. It was very exciting. And so because of that, I was on this wave, this guy right here, this beautiful human, and actually with the help of Ruben, somehow, this is something I'll talk about later too. Somehow we came up with the idea to start a team. And this is an important thing to, you know, if you are starting a team, it's really important to understand why you want to build the team, what you want to get out of it, because a lot of people make the same mistake that I did. Whereas if you are a good agent as a solo agent, then you think that the next step has to be building a team, because that is, at least in the Keller Williams world that I lived in, the MREA, the Millionaire Real Estate, real estate. I was like, what does that E stand for? The Millionaire Agent book, that Red book by Gary Keller, was like the Bible. You know, it was like, this is the way in which you build, you know, your world. And so team was the next step. But it doesn't have to be. It can be. It doesn't have to be. But anyway, we moved forward full fucking steam. By the end of year one, closed 130 transactions as a small team and moved to EXP, as everyone knows probably. And we had, I say, 3 to 6 agents. Mike, Dan, and myself were there the whole year. And I say 3 to 6 because if anyone has dabbled in the team world, you know that agents are very, they come and they go. And that's a whole nother conversation that we'll get to in a little bit down the road. But that was year one. Year two, weird fire and gasoline. We're picking up steam. We're attracting more agents. We closed 220 transactions by the year. By the end of year two, we had between 10 and 20 agents like, yeah, let's fucking go. Then year three, 50 to 30 agents. We had split up into 2 different markets. We're in Fayetteville and we're in Charlotte. We're on track to close 350 deals that year. From the outside looking in, this is, you know, Five Pillars Realty Group, unstoppable, right? And then phase two happened, which seemingly out of nowhere, I decide to shut it down. Literally, people were like, where is this coming from? No. This is the story that I told the world. You know, I was like, oh, it's time to evolve. It's time to expand. We're keeping all of the best parts, shedding the skin of an outdated model. And it's time for Five Pillars Realty Group to become Five Pillars Nation, which, by the way, this is true. This was not a lie by any means, but it just wasn't the full story. Because the part that I didn't share is that I couldn't take one more day of the team that I had built. And here it is. And the other parts that I didn't share is that, like, I was absolutely dead. I was exhausted. I was defeated. I was resentful in a lot of ways. I was disappointed. I had built this world where I had gotten to the point where I actually hated real estate agents. I hated investors. I hated people. I hated my phone. Don't talk to me. I hated real estate. Like, this was what had happened over those. This was behind the scenes of what you didn't see from those first couple years of building Five Pillars Realty Group. And so then we go into phase three, which this is the aftermath. So Five Pillars Nation, by the way, is just like, I'm still pushing forward on that. And I love Five Pillars Nation. It is a online community, and it is a place where agents, especially investor agents, can go and build real businesses alongside people who are trying to do the same. So that's all still happening. But again, what you didn't see, perhaps. Hey,
are you going to touch on maybe some examples of what sent you? Because it seems like it was absolutely amazing. You were on top of the world. You had this crazy big vision. You were accepting that it was okay to disrupt the whole real estate. I mean, you were just 100%. And then it looks as if you fell off a cliff in terms of just emotion, the whole vision of this thing. Are you going to touch on some examples? So just in case somebody's watching is like, oh my gosh, I'm there. Or is this a good time to maybe touch on some of those?
Some examples of what led me there?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I'll definitely get to that. It's coming.
Awesome. I'm out.
Okay. Okay. So then after this breaking point, I hit this, the aftermath happened. And the problem is that I had built an entire identity around real estate, and everyone knew me for real estate. Everyone wanted to talk to me about real estate, and real estate was the last thing that I wanted to talk about because I was so burnt out. And so all of the things that I listed before, these were so true. And so then I went through this identity crisis of like, who am I if not real estate? It was the whole thing. And it lasted for years. So this is what happened next. In year four, I had this identity crisis. And you guys who have followed my journey have known that there was one day I was going to be a recruiter. I'm going to push EXP all the way. Then I was going to be a speaker, and by the way, I did do these things. Like I spoke at Bigger Pockets Rookie and Real Estate Wealth Builders and tons of different places. And then I was going to be a YouTuber. You guys remember this? Maybe. I was going to be a coach. I was going to be an influencer. I was going to do wholesaling and flipping. And I also considered running away from real estate entirely. There was many, many days where I woke up and was like, I think I'm just going to shut it down. I'm going to shut down my Instagram. I'm going to create a new identity where no one knows me. And I'm just going to start fresh. Like, this literally what's happening behind the scenes. Five Pillars Nation was running. Same. And then year five, it continues. It's like the same shit. Commercial real estate. Maybe I'll do this and whatever. Ultimately, what do I want? I don't fucking know. This is what continued. And then year six, like, yeah, guys, I'm like really over. I'm really over the identity crisis. It is exhausting. And so what I started doing is and this is what has happened really recently. It's I reflected on the past 2.5, almost 3 years and thought about what I liked. And I'm obsessed with business building. I'm obsessed with marketing and sales now. Listen to a lot of Alex Hormozi. Moved to a new city where we want to plant roots. Drake and I want to plant roots. I'm very drawn more than ever after these 3 years to local in-person connections because I've done so much in the virtual world now. And that has its own challenges. So anyway, I'm finally recovered, which leads us to phase four, which is the comeback. So Drake and I have decided that we're going to start a Five Pillars team at eXp Realty in Lexington. And the reason why this is important is because I'm going to actually show you what we would do different if starting over today. And then I'll explain what I did previously and the results that it had on really my mental health. So now we're going into like actually the meat and the bones of it. But with the comeback, just so you know, this is exciting because a lot of you out there are maybe like, oh, she's already built a team before. Like she has all these connections, whatever. This is a new city. I have no sphere of influence here. I have no reputation in Lexington, South Carolina. Drake and I don't have our license. Like we don't have our license. We're like starting with a clean slate, which is a really cool, exciting ground to build off of. But okay, so starting again, our big picture vision is the goal is to be highly strategic this time. It's to be laser focused. It's to emphasize longevity and sustainability and build the life by design instead of, this is what I did before, guys. Instead of being highly strategic, I was all about the fuck around and find out model. Let's try this. Let's see if this works, blah, blah, blah. Laser focused. We did it all. We could do investors. We could do retail. We could do like you name it. And that's just like in the sales space. We also had pizza properties and we did a YouTube channel and basically the point is we were spread all over the place. We did not have laser focus. And instead of focusing on longevity and sustainability, it was a full sprint every single day. And everyone kept telling me, Shelby, you're going to burn out. Shelby, you're going to burn out. And I was like, fuck you. No, I'm not. It happened. And it took almost 3 years to recover. Also going to build life by design instead of the mentality of pain is just weakness leaving the body, which is like push through pain, you know, suffer, which there is a time and a place for that for sure. But I also think there's a way if you are strategic enough to build your business in a way that you don't hate your life, you don't have to suffer. So that's the goal. Ruben, yeah, I guess if you have more questions, or I'll go through and then you'll see what questions you have from there. But okay, so let's talk about the vision of how I'm going to do it again differently this time. So before when I built the first team, I did not think of my business as an actual business. Everyone tells you, think of your business as a business. And you're like, okay, definitely. But if you don't take this time to slow down and read the books and do the research and talk to like legitimate business owners, you can think you're running your business like a business, but you don't really know. And so we are building our business off of the EOS model. So traction, essentially. And also building it with these pillars firmly in mind. By the way, these are the five pillars of Five Pillars Nation. With having a straight up marketing plan strategy, sales plan strategy, operational back end, and finances. As opposed to, this is what I did the first time, guys. I didn't use EOS. We had no real marketing strategy. We, within the sales realm, we had sales agents. We had way too many. That's what all these are. Way too, less is more. And also when I say TNC, that's training and accountability. We had training on sales. We did not have accountability. And I'll talk about why here in a little bit. These are main problems. And also the main problem we have, by the way, our operations were fucking sick. Like, I'm really, really proud of Five Pillar Realty Group, like operational systems. But we also did not have a good grasp on books or finances. We'll dig into this more. Okay. So this is the vision how we're going to build it out instead of this. Okay. Within the marketing strategy, this is the vision. If I were to do it again, this is what we're going to do. We are going to focus on, I say luxury. I don't mean like really stuffy luxury. I'm just talking about a real healthy price point, guys. I would much rather work with people who have money or with builders or new construction, basically a beautiful product that I don't have to sell in a horrendous way, a product that I'm proud of and I'm excited to get in front of and is beautiful from a marketing standpoint, instead of, this is what I did before, we focused on investors, which was so fun and so cool at the time because I was an investor too and I was picking up all these rental properties. Like, no real regrets to that. But what happened was the average sales price of $155,000 with a traditional team, where there's a split to EXP and there's a 50-50 split with the agents on the team. Guys, we were busting our ass fighting for pennies. So if you're thinking of building a team, you have to take that into consideration because, you know, a lot, and this was a problem that I had too. It's like culture first, like all culture above everything. At the end of the day, it's still a business. You have to make money. And if the agents aren't making money, if you're not making enough money and then some, what are you doing? The other thing is with our target audience, we want to target people who have money because dealing with the problems that come along with distressed sellers in those situations or people who are at a point where they're using every last penny to try to get into a house, it makes for a very, very different conversation and a very different just feeling across the board. Other things to consider within marketing strategies is niche, the riches are in the niches. Like, we know this, I know this, and yet still we can do everything. But if you know everything, you know nothing. And so finding either like a community to farm, like and become a specialist in to work exclusively with luxury or new builds or builders, whatever, then you can actually specialize. Other things to consider too is distance and commute. My first year, guys, like not even just first year, but like with the team, we were everywhere from Southern Pines to Hope Mills to like, you name it, we're all over the place. And y'all know that if you are working with a bunch of clients and they want to see five houses that are across the town, this adds up. So thinking about being strategic in the location in which you're marketing, the type of problems that people are going to deal with, and stability regardless of marketing conditions. This is something too, like our team was almost exclusively built around the investor niche-ish. Like online, which I'm going to talk about in a second. Online, investors, we're the investor agents, blah, 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 stuff. And this isn't this did not play into the reason why we shut down the traditional model, but it would have played a big role if we would have continued going when interest rates changed and inventory dried up. Like, just at least being thinking consciously of like, is my niche secure in regardless of market conditions for the most part? Okay. This is what we're going to do too. With marketing, lead generation requirements for our company is that it has to be a repeatable process. It has to be scalable. We have to be able to track results. We will allocate a budget towards marketing. It will be tech forward, have leverage, all of these things. I'm not going to read them to you. Which I'll get to. Yeah. Okay. And then, okay, here's actually our specific plan, which I'm wondering if I'm talking too much, but I'm just going to fucking send it. If Ruben, speak up if you need to ask questions or if anyone else has questions, let me know.
No, you're doing good right now. Keep rolling.
Okay, our specific marketing plan is that we are going to connect with builders, maybe listing agents if they're listing. There's a couple of homes in this luxury market that we have our eye on that we want to go to. And then what we'll do is we'll market for them. Be like, hey, I'm going to market the shit. They're not going to say the shit because we're going to be a little bit more P's and Q's, whatever the phrase is. We will market your property for you. And what we're going to do is we're going to create content of these gorgeous homes. And by content, I mean, some will be photos, some will be Instagram. We want to do YouTube as well. Shout out Sam Cottle if you're watching this. But what we'll do too is once we create that content, we are going to run ads for those homes. And when everyone loves a beautiful home, when that ad generates interest, we are going to have a lead manager to do speed to lead. Speed to lead, 30 seconds or less, like immediate content, and set the appointment. But more importantly, equally importantly, is for those people who have interest or scoping out the website, they are going to get retargeted. Drake is doing retargeting on those eyeballs and absolutely dominating them with ads from our branding perspective. So they're going to be like, oh my God, those people are everywhere. Oh my God, they're everywhere. And with the retargeting, it's not going to necessarily be like a very strong ad, like a call to action. It's much more of a brand building play. So as you can see, we're going to have the beautiful product, which is the luxury type of homes. We're going to create content for it. We are going to run ads for it, and we are going to retarget for it, which is, here's my little funnel. And then by the time they are ready, they will come in to our grasp. And by grasp, I really mean all of this leads to a CRM, which we're going to talk about in a second as well. This is the big picture marketing plan, but we are also going to layer that in with all of these eyeballs, all of the attention that we collect with things that I love doing, because again, life by design, right? Be our guest. I fucking love to throw an event. I really do. You guys probably know this from like Pints and Properties and Team Trip and Pillars Retreat and all of the things. So we're going to do open house events, aligning them with holidays. We're going to do educational events. And this is, again, strategic, because as we do these events, we are going to partner with local businesses to highlight them as well as with the intent of creating high quality content for us to collaborate on, because we want to tap into the business owner sphere. We want to tap into the builders and our vendors, and all of this throughout the events. We're going to capture a professional photographer and have really good content for it, because it creates so much interest, so much FOMO, so much noise that we're going to capture. Instead of, this is what we did the first time. Social media targeting investors, especially newbie investors. Y'all, no money, huge waste of time. Also, podcasting targeting investors. I thought it was awesome. Let's go on Bigger Pockets, which, no regrets. But do you know what Bigger Pockets did? This is what happens. The universe is a boomerang. What you put out, you will receive. And so, by getting on Bigger Pockets and talking about the investor agent niche that we were in and working with investors, the result that came from that was people who wanted to invest in low price point markets for pennies on the dollar, like I was doing and sharing on the podcast, or investor agents who wanted to join an investor-minded team, aka they wanted to be investors. They didn't want to be agents. And so when I say we had 30 agents on our team, so many of them were agents who just got their license because they wanted to invest in real estate and they didn't want to actually transact. And so what that equals to from a team perspective is expenses. You're doing the email addresses, the extra manpower to add them to the website or social media highlights, and then the training that you put into these people, which I love my investor agents out there. So great. But I'm just saying, from a team perspective, from strategy, it doesn't make logical sense. The return is not there, because this will all go back to like, we're being strategic this time around, right? Same, Pints and Properties is targeting investors. I won't go deep. There was a lot of positives that came from that. But the other thing that we did was our marketing. We didn't really have a marketing strategy. A lot of it was personality-based. Myself, Mike Glaspie, and Dan Kidd, our first three, have the ability, all three of us, This is why I didn't realize it was a problem, because all three of us had the ability to walk into a room and walk out with five clients. Like it was just the way. And so because of that, I never had to have a legitimate marketing strategy, because in my opinion, I was just like, you just talk to people and they want to work with you. Duh. And that doesn't work at scale. That's a huge bottleneck in your business. Yes, Ruben.
I have a quick question. Yeah. So as you start bringing, so it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the team that you're going to build in the beginning is just going to be you and Drake, but is the focus to, and it sounds like it is, to scale more of a talented agent versus, you know, quality over quantity. And if so, are those agents going to be responsible for, I'm trying to align, like you were saying, MREA versus what you're going to be building next. Are some of those agents, are they going to be separated in terms of you only work with this price point luxury X agent or client, you work with this person, buyers or sellers, and will they also be responsible for their own marketing? Or are you guys basically top of the funnel and then they will fulfill the need as it comes through from what you guys get from marketing?
Totally. So great question. In regard to specific lanes, Drake and I have not fleshed that out yet, because literally this is like day three, not even kidding. But what we did before was you can work with anyone, you can work, you know, and what it happened was they naturally gravitated into lanes anyway. We have, you know, Raul Medina, if he's listening to this, was our freaking listing dude. He knew that shit inside and out. And other people were like, I don't want to do listings. So I think naturally people will gravitate towards the niche, like in that type of team model. So I think we will probably have some sort of setup like that. But Drake and I need to talk about it. I don't like to completely limit people. I'm not going to be like, you can only work with buyers, you can only work with sellers. Like, I don't like that. But when we decide for sure, I'll let you know. But in regards to leads, this marketing strategy that we're doing is going to generate a shit ton of leads. So they will be provided leads. Of course, if they go out and generate their own, that's great. But like the marketing strategy that we do, these leads will come into and they'll pop into the CRM after they've gone through this funnel. And then from there, lead manager, speed to lead. But ultimately, in the beginning, this is Drake. And then over time, this will likely be an agent too. But once the clients are in the CRM, the follow-up and the going on the actual appointment is the agent responsibility. So all that to say, we will be generating leads for them. If that was really, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, totally. That makes sense. And I do like the idea that, you know, you start to, and with them sharing, but you start to understand what they're really good at in the real estate game and allowing them to grow into it. Because if we've learned one thing, you cannot and never will be able to cap talent. And for the people who do, they scratch their head when that talented person leaves. Totally. So for you guys to like breed that and support that is going to be huge.
Totally. Yes. Okay. Okay. We're almost done with this. Yeah. And so before we lacked a actual strategy to reliably generate leads, we had a shit ton of leads just because of the waves that we were creating in Fayetteville. If you were in Fayetteville at that time, like you knew who Five Pillars Realty Group was, like people were coming out of the woodworks for it. But there wasn't like a, if someone was like, what's your marketing strategy? I would be like, that's what would be my answer. Cause we didn't really have one. And then also with those, the difference is, now, like we had of all the leads that came in, we would send them out to the agents and then have a very like a fucking Excel spreadsheet of like tracking. It was not what it should have been. So this time around, we're going to have a very true means of tracking it, which is all going to be done through the CRM. So note, if you're out there and you're thinking about starting a team, just remember that you are likely not the agents that you attract. What I mean by this is I made the mistake of being like, I mean, this is how I generated my business. Everyone like go out and talk to people. It'll work for you too. People are very different. Humans are very complex. And it's really unfair for you to expect people to be like you, because if they really were like you, they would be out there doing their own thing. They're building your own team. You know what I mean? So just something to keep in mind. Okay, so that is our rough outline of our marketing strategy. We're about to go into the sales process. Okay, our plan within the sales process. Now that the leads are generated and they're captured, the sales process begins from the capture and it goes until under contract. And that's when you switch over to operations. So to recap, marketing is like lead generation, brand building. And then as soon as the lead comes in and is grasped, that's when it turns into the sales process from that point until an agreement is signed, listing agreement or an offer to purchase. We are going to be using, Drake picked this out. He's the nerdy one of the two of us. Thank God. And that's another thing that is really helpful this time around is like, Drake is really good at all the things that I'm not. So remember this little thing up here where I'm like, oh, we're missing a marketing director the first time around. We're missing accountability. We're missing the bookkeeper. Thank God Drake loves all of that stuff. Great. Perfect. So when you're thinking about a partner also, things to consider. Okay. Drake has decided on Brivity CRM. Everyone is going to use it. Team leaders, agents, the operational people, everyone is going to use it. One system that includes the workflow. It's going to include the workflow of the client. It's going to include the template emails, the tasks related to each piece of the workflow, and the frequency in which the follow-ups need to occur, all in one place with complete visibility of, remember what I talked about here? For the sales training and accountability person for oversight. That way you can track as the team leader, you can track speed to lead, you can track the texts and the phone calls, and it's a great opportunity for retraining as they need it. Also, accountability. This is scalable because it's a single system. And we are also going to do automated touches. So Lolo and Client Giant are, if you don't know about those, oh my God, I'm like so excited to actually use them because I've been thinking about them for a while now. But basically, they're automated ways to touch people in an authentic, beautiful way. Look them up. I should get an affiliate code.
I was just about to say that. All right, bye.
This is what we're going to do. Instead of, this was my face, instead of not using a CRM, y'all, if I'm completely honest, my way of tracking my leads in the beginning was an Excel spreadsheet. It worked for me. It is not scalable and it does not work for everyone. And I had no oversight about what the agents were doing. Every single one of them had a different system. We would say, oh, use KV Core. Some of them would, some of them wouldn't. There was no way for me to go in and track every single agent when we got to the point when we were 30 agents. It wasn't built to scale. And we had, oh my gosh, we had workflow and templates and tasks, but it wasn't built in to a single system. It was on, you know, a Google Doc or like a Word doc or here's your checklist, but there was no oversight for it to operate like an actual business. And one of the biggest problems that you're going to hear me say over and over again is because I thought about the team the whole time as if I was the member of the team. Literally in my head, I'm like, well, I mean, they don't need accountability. They should just do it. Like they don't need, you know, someone over their shoulders I don't know who's listening, but I'm sure there's different opinions out there. But in my head, I was like, they don't need these things. They just fucking do it because I was thinking about me and that's unfair. And that's not a way to build a scalable business. Okay. Accountability. You are not your agents. Scalable. You are not your agents. Automated touches. We were too cheap as well. And we took a lot of pride in like, we don't spend money on marketing, which is really funny to me now because it's like, we didn't have a marketing strategy. Anyway, lots of lessons learned and it was fun. I learned a lot and I died, but it's all good. So with that though, so this is our sales process from a business perspective, just some notes on sales agents. So these are the team, like if you're out there and you're like, I'm going to start a team and you're thinking about the agents you want to bring on your team. So this is going to be our focus when we're ready. We're not ready. So no agents, we're not bringing on a single agent until our processes and our leverage, our marketing strategy, our sales process, all of these things are rock solid. And we have the TC and we have the LC. We have all of our preferred vendors, our pieces in place. At that point, when we've hit the point where we're like, okay, we're ready, our shit's fucking rock solid, then we can be to the point where we want to talk to agents. But at that, I can hear when you unmute.
I like how I just pop. Would you entertain, because I've heard this before too, especially with people building teams, would you entertain an agent who knocked out to your door in that city and said, you know, I have this, and it does align with what you're creating. And by kind of absorbing them in your business, you absorb those processes and tools and connections and networking. Would you entertain something like that if you were 70% the way versus rock solid?
I don't think so this time around, just because the first time around I did so much of, oh, let's change my plan to meet someone else's. Let's change my plan for X, Y, and Z. And what it did is it turned into me going into a million different directions. And even though I'm sure that would be a very good opportunity for a lot of people, the way that Drake and I want to build this now, we have like a very specific vision, and I don't want to go off-roading for that. That being said, it's so situational. If that person's like a total rock star and like absolutely vibes with us in every freaking way, then maybe.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, we're going to be highly, highly selective. I really liked most of our agents the first time around, but we were not highly, highly selective. core values, past performance, fire in the eyes, which that can be a whole class in and to itself. Also, we're going to keep it very small. Like, I'm thinking 5 agents. Drake said no more than 10. It's somewhere along that where it's like, I want to be able to go out to eat and all sit at the same table. full-time, in-person, that's another thing. We did a lot of part-time. We did a lot of that stuff the first time around. Don't want to do that. Super clear on understanding of their lanes and daily expectations. Instead of agents out the gate, without being highly selective, I didn't know what red flags to look for. I was too lenient. And I had a soft spot in my heart for anyone who is an investor or military. I'm like, oh, you found your home. Come here. And then 30 agents, way too many. Full-time in person, this prevents the case-by-case decision fatigue. Well, this would happen a lot where it's like, well, I can't make it to training. Is it possible for me to do X, Y, and Z? Or, oh, I can't do whatever. And that's just each one of those doesn't seem like a lot until there's 30 of them. And then they're asking for like retraining and you already recorded it, but then they have follow-on questions and it's just draining you in a million different directions. And it's also providing excuses for lack of performance because of competing priorities. And that can work for some teams. It's not going to work for our team this time around. Also, super clear understanding the lane and daily expectations, because 90% of the agents will not be the right fit for this. And by I said 90%, it's probably like 99%. Are not going to be the right fit, and that's okay. Whereas the first time around, I'm like, yes, come to the family. Everyone's welcome. Let's. Few more notes on the sales agents is fuck the good idea fairy and wish lists. Fuck this. This got me in so much trouble the first time around because I wanted to listen to everyone's ideas. I wanted to make the community the most magical thing possible. But what that did is this. Is people would come with a good idea and they would get really excited. I would get really excited. They'd drop it in my lap and then walk away. And then I had 15 good ideas sitting on top of my lap, along with the business, along with investing, along with life. And I'm not doing it again. So just be wary of the good idea fairy and wish list. And if someone has a good idea, by all means, they can implement it. Okay, lessons learned with operations. These are since I really liked our operational setup, I'm just going to go through. There's only one slide on this. Delay in-house. Lots of people want to bring in-house TCs in-house, listing coordinators in-house. They're amazing in-house, but what that is it's overhead. And in the beginning, your transactions are going to be like this. You're going to have 5 agents 1 month and you're going to have 1 agent the next. And that's just the way that team building works. And so if you can delay having that overhead as long as possible, just do it. More overseas talent. We're doing that this time. Fewer people, more systems. TC systems in the CRM. We had a whole built out a whole program for our contract to close and our listing coordinations in a system that was not our CRM. One system to rule them all. Okay. Finances, lesson learned. I'm almost done here because we got to close up soon. Don't pay. This is such a Shelby. Don't pay people unless you actually know what they're doing. I had a couple of marketing people that I didn't know a damn thing about SEO, about websites, about like digital marketing at all. I also didn't have the bandwidth to dig into it. And instead, I got sold month after month and spent a lot of money towards something that I didn't really know. I don't really know what he's doing, but I believe him. I mean, I think he knows what he's talking about. Don't do that. Don't do that. Face the fog. This is just a note in general where the things that you're not facing is growing heads and it's getting worse. So you have to face it because no one cares about your business as much as you do. This is funny. Are we making money? I think so. I do not know how much money Five Pillars Realty Group actually made because this is what I was doing. Real talk. We were making money and I was taking my part and investing it in real estate, my part. Who knows if it was my part? And we had enough. Of course, we always had enough to pay everyone. Everyone got paid. Our salaries got paid. Our office space got paid, all that stuff. But I did not have a good grasp on our financial pieces as a business without commingling. It was like, oh, it's in the Shelby world. But like, it was not categorized. It was a hot mess. Don't be like me. Calculate in your own salary or you'll never get paid. Okay, quick closing thoughts and then we'll do questions. Great solo agent does not mean that the next step is to build a traditional team. Let's see. Thick skin is required. You can't make everyone happy. Yeah, building a team is a lot of work. People come with problems. And team size, stay small or go big. And you can do it. Questions.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, go ahead and push these two just in case anybody's still on. And then I got a few questions.
Go listen to the Agent Goldmine and the Real Estate Rockstars and follow me at The Shelby Show. If you have questions, hit me up on Instagram. Just shoot me a DM. That's the best place to do it. And that's it. Ruben, questions.
Awesome. I love it. And what was I going to say beside that? Dang it. I forgot it. But either way, thank you so much for that. Accountability. So one of the biggest things that we've seen people struggle with in terms of accountability is obviously, you know, they do want to become friends with everybody. They don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or whatever. What is your... And one thing that you can get ahead of that, obviously, is expectations and then a system that supports that expectation. But for you, what does that system look like? You don't have to go deep into it. But for right now, what does accountability look like for the agents in the future who will be joining the team?
I don't have that fleshed out yet, Ruben. I wish I did. When I have it fleshed out, I'll share it with you. And Drake and I are working on that together. Because the way that it's going to flesh out right now, it looks like I will be the lead trainer. And Drake will be the accountability within, like, because the CRM is his baby. So he'll be right. The one who's monitoring calls, contacts, connections, the flow, the workflow, et cetera.
Okay, perfect. And then I do have a question from someone who just came in, but I'm gonna ask this one. I know when one of my biggest turning points was the book Extreme Ownership, when I was running the KW, the Market Center, that's when it really hit me that I shouldn't be friends with everybody. And I really honestly shouldn't have everyone try to like me. I was failing the Market Center at that point. Once I started building a higher accountability and holding people to what they promised that they said that they were going to do, we started hitting all-time records. But in the beginning, it was a muddy, kind of an emotional state for myself because I was, in essence, building a new relationship between myself and the agents that wasn't a friend relationship. It was more of a higher accountability. We're here to ensure the growth of this or you or whatever. And I'm going to be the one to hold you to the fire. How do people transition to that new mindset when building a team? Because obviously that was the place you were in. You wanted people to love you. And now you're moving into a more of a stern type of, you know, environment in order for them to hit their goals and overall the byproduct, the team hits their goals. How does someone transition to that, or at least what you've seen?
From my experience, most big shifts like that come from experience and pain. hearing someone tell you don't be friends with your agents or accountability is a must or X, Y, and Z, they're like, okay, sure. And by the way, this is not just in this scenario. This is real estate at a large. People tell you all the time, like, I've learned this. Please don't make the same mistake. And you're like, whatever. Until 2 years down the road, they're like, oh my God, I finally get it now. And now because of that, I will not return to that pain. So I think that that's not a fun answer. I think that life experience is a big factor in it. Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to go through it eventually, right? And you'll be ready for it once it shows up. There are so many times. There's someone watching this right now. It's like, nah, I already got it. You know?
Yeah,
and,
but totally. Down the road, that was me. Totally. Yeah.
All right, we got a few questions that came in. How will this impact current agents on your Five Pillars Nation group?
It will only benefit them. So Five Pillars Nation is not going away. I am so excited. Like literally every single thing that Five Pillars Nation is currently is only going to benefit from this, because something that I personally have struggled with, which this wasn't the focus of today's conversation, which is why it didn't come up, is that when I got out of production, it doesn't feel good to be like, well, I used to do it this way. Well, back in my day, back in, you know, and so now I think it's going to be so helpful because I'm going to be in it again. And so all of our business development trainings and scripting, and honestly, I'm probably going to have more things that I'm offering to my team that I'm just going to invite Five Pillars Nation to, that is going to be hyper relevant. I'm so excited. That and the Five Pillars Nation, our Pillars Retreat that happens every Veterans Day weekend, is still on. And I just feel like it's going to be better and better and more relevant than ever.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you're not going to hold it to yourself on what you've learned and grow into. You know, your whole team's going to be able to benefit from that. Is there any last things you'd like to say? I know you got to cut out earlier. You got another podcast coming up. Is there anything that you'd want to throw at anybody? Any call to actions, questions, anything you want to throw to anybody before we let you go?
Yes. I'd say that if this came off at all negative, that was not the intent. I am trying to explain through a camera the waves that I've been through and like the highs and the lows. And I just hope that I know that if you want to build a team and you want to do this, you can fucking do it. And I would love to help. That's another thing too, where it's like, as I'm going through this with Five Pillars Nation, anyone who does want to start a team or be really, really strategic in their marketing, sales, all of these different processes, I'm so excited to be building it now, and I'm going to share every little bit of it. So if you're going through it, please let me know so I can loop you in and keep you posted with the whole process. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think there's any need to apologize. I think your story is your story. And the fact that you have the transparency and the balls to go out there and really say it how it is honestly going to help out more people than it's going to hurt people. So no, I appreciate it, man. And thank you. Cool. And get out of here so you can go to your next podcast. I'm going to stick around and I'll send you the recording if you want it. But
yeah, audio sounds Shelby. Great. All right. Thanks, bye, Ruben. Thanks, Ruben. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So what did you guys think? Any questions, any concerns, anything that you guys may have any burning questions afterwards that you may want to ask? I am here for it. If you do have anything, we're going to get this right. We're going to get this right. Let's see. Any other questions or concerns that you guys may have about that? It has been a really cool journey to watch her growth and the Five Pillars Nation growth as well. But I will say, you know, you got to be around people who are going to support that creative way of building out a team, because she does have a solid structure, but she's also going to learn as she goes along, and she's going to add and take out a few things. And to have the environment that's going to support you in that's going to be huge, huge. So, if anybody doesn't have any questions, cool. But if you got any other questions, cool. Shoot it my way. You know where to find me. Proven by Ruben on all social media platforms. Till then, adios, y'all. Bye-bye.